ultimately, especially matters when you're trying to attract node operators to back your project, because without those operators, you don't get any throughput on the network. I mean, ultimately with Coca-Cola, their biggest issue would be like product tracking or logistics, right? So, you know, that's sort of like very, a very basic function of what Constellation can do. Consider instead, for example, you know, Tesla cars. Tesla, the cars are part of an IoT network, right? And they have to ultimately communicate with one another and geolocate between one another to help with everything right down to accident avoidance, right? And if you're running all of this through HTTP, there's a delay. That delay could mean the difference between life and death for a car that would otherwise be able to autonomously swerve out of the way of another vehicle coming towards it if it had the ability to communicate with that other vehicle in real time. A great example to look at is Alchemy Exchange. Go check out the white paper. Make sure you read that all the way through. Hypergraph is essentially to the movement of data, what fiber optic cable was to telecommunication. Fiber optics changed everything. And Hypergraph is going to too, you'll see. And that's the problem right now in crypto, is that a lot of these assets that are for sale, the entire value of their network is speculative and built into the token value. That's it. There is no utility, right? Constellation has developed Hypergraph, and Hypergraph is the thing that businesses are seeking, not the DAG tokens. They don't care about those. It just so happens that the network doesn't function without the DAG tokens. But ultimately, these companies actually want to use Hypergraph. This isn't a crypto project. This is a tech company. The tech company has built a decentralized network that just so happens to have a token economy attached to it. And a lot of these other crypto projects start out backwards. They start with a token economy, but there's no product, there's no utility, there's no reason for the token. Even the projects that have seen protocols built, they don't even require the tokens to use the network for anything. I'd just like to highlight the fact too that the feature, the value prop of Hypergraph, the thing that makes it so valuable out in the real world with these enterprises that are integrating with it and companies that are building on it, is the fact that it provides immutability, scalability. It doesn't ever slow down. It only gets faster the bigger the network gets. Plus it's fully encrypted. HTTP is not, this is. So this is the logical step. If you're a big company looking to keep your data secure and stored, this is a fully working protocol, just like Hypertext Transfer Protocol was. This is also a protocol, it's next generation. Let's dumb this down. If you're at the garden store and you see a cheap garden hose, the kind where the plastic is brittle and stiff and, you know, the more it bends, it springs leaks all over the place, are you gonna buy that? Or are you gonna buy the rubber garden hose that, you know, can bend and twist and everything and never get any holes in it? That's the difference between HTTP and HGTP. Nobody wants a shitty garden hose. If a tech company launches all of the nodes that support their network in a centralized fashion, a bad actor could quite easily attack all of the nodes at once and bring down the entire network, right? So this network, the fact that it's decentralized, but then it's also, there's a financial incentive for people to join the network and expand the decentralized function of it, right? So every time anybody joins and creates a new node on the network expands, the number of connections between the network expands. If a node is attacked, let's say, and it goes down, or there's a power outage or whatever happens and the node's offline, the rest of the network accommodates that traffic and it essentially heals. It's like the network gets a cut and it heals, and then that other node that fell off can join back on later. A centralized network is a lot like an intranet, and we've seen intranets come under attack. I mean, look at all of these data breaches everywhere, right? These are intranets that have been attacked by third parties, or there's been some cooperation with an inside party and an outside party to, you know, leak passwords or install Trojan horses or whatever, right? But ultimately, there's data breaches as a result of this. If a network is decentralized, these issues become impossible. What do you guys call it, like water hose or a water tube, garden tube? I don't know. With Bitcoin, the biggest issue is that there's no utility outside of the movement of value between parties. The network's ultra slow, and it's very expensive to move large amounts of value. The real innovation with Bitcoin is the immutability of the network, but also the security. Constellation has both of those things too, except, you know, it's all free to run and instantaneous. And then, of course, with Ethereum brought smart contracts to the table, but the problem is that businesses don't know how to use the smart contracts. There's no real great way to integrate with Ethereum to run smart contracts on the network or do anything with them. So it's remained kind of a crypto thing. And I mean, proof of this, look, how many ICOs have there been where they've purported to come up with an actual use case for smart contracts that have ultimately failed because the tech development wasn't there? They couldn't do it. So what do we have now instead? We have state channels, and we've got a community member that wrote an entire article on the difference between state channels and smart contracts. But state channels are ultimately the piece, the tech that was missing, that allow these companies to actually build on the network and use the network and define their own token economies. But then on top of that, it's not built on a blockchain. It's built on a directed cyclic graph, which is essentially like a big mesh. It's nonlinear, so it expands in multiple directions at the same time instead of in a linear direction. And therefore, it's incredibly fast and highly scalable and more secure. Constellation is one of the few companies that's actually produced a network where it makes sense to hold the token forever. I mean, why would you sell your principal value and give up your passive revenue, right? You could sell your principal value and sure, you got some fiat, you can throw that in the bank, but watch your value get washed away by inflation, right? You really would rather have to deal with inflation and a shitty interest rate at a bank than, you know, collect 20 or 30% a month even on running your node, right? Potentially more than that. I just want to say here that Dagnam Pai is completely accurate with what he's saying. Don't overlook this. Sleep on this project, and you're basically sleeping on the launch of Bit. That project doesn't actually have any revenue generated on its product. Well, there aren't. And to that end, I mean, Rune and a few others, I think Hedera Hashgraph keeps coming up, but these are projects where basically enterprise were selected to run nodes. There aren't any retail node operators or people like that got in early that bought tokens, you know, that are running nodes. These are hand-picked network operators that represent companies that were selected, like, you know, IBM or whatever it is, right? Constellation launched the network and began expanding the network by adding node operators. It had that option. They very well could have given foundational node operator positions to enterprise to draw them into the network and get them running, right? But instead, they chose a community-first approach, and they actually allowed people to apply to run foundational nodes. And those applicants were then vetted by a group of decentralized governance and selected based on their contributions that they've made to the project in terms of, you know, community leadership or tech leadership or whatever, any way that they can help get the project off the ground. Something to consider. Imagine if the Bitcoin network actually required Bitcoin miners to also stake Bitcoin to run the mines. Not only that, but consider what would happen if, as a result of that staking of those Bitcoin, if the circulating supply were effectively reduced. So right now, I think that there's about 10,000 nodes or mines or whatever running the Bitcoin network. So imagine if X amount had to be staked for each one of those, what that would do to the value of the network. Something else we're thinking about, but, you know, people ask, you know, how come more people don't know about Constellation or whatever, right? I mean, number one is that the team are actually focused on building out the protocol and have been focused on that. We have a working protocol. And they're also more focused on enterprise adoption, right? I mean, those two factors will bring more people in long term than spending, you know, all of their resources on advertising product that's not fully realized. So there were also a lot of people that saw what happened with Ethereum and all of the numerous different projects that launched on it. And fact is like, it's a minefield. Most projects never make it. Most projects are total garbage. There is no utility. There's no plan for utility, any of that, right? And I mean, anybody that wrote the 2017 wave up to the top saw that. So you got a bunch of people that are still floating around crypto that are totally shell-shocked and afraid of everything. It's why we're seeing such great interest now in crypto, because this run is actually bringing entirely new communities that were unaware. Yeah, well, and to that end too, the project did have to start out with people that were going to be dedicated to running nodes long-term, regardless of whatever the token values were, right? So in order to get this thing off the ground, decentralized governance did have to make those selections and determine who would best run nodes long-term. That's just the way these things go. And version 2.0 of the software is going to release soon, and that will allow anybody with 250,000 DAG tokens to collateralize and run on the network. But there had to be a network established and running stably for those other people to join and have the opportunity to do this too. So, hey, what's up, brother? More. Well, what else do you want to know? Ask something. I don't have all the answers, but I might be able to help with some clarity. Here's something else that people ask about too, and that is, well, what happens when collateral gets so expensive that the average person can't afford to buy a node, or for that matter, a business is not able to afford a node in order to run a state channel on the network, right? That's when you see these opportunities to lend tokens to business owners or lease tokens to business owners in order to run nodes. Or, you know, the staking options that are going to be available with Lattice and so forth for people looking to run nodes for, you know, the crypto side of things. But, you know, there are businesses to be built around the fact that nodes are going to get priced out. Another thing that I see happening in the future is a secondary marketplace for nodes where people can buy and sell nodes based on their pro score and the revenues that they generate yearly. So it'd be like, you know, buying or selling a traditional business. And what you're going to see are people buying nodes that have really, really bad pro scores and doing what they can to rebuild the value of those nodes and then sell them. There's going to be that market. It is. And fundamentally, Hedera cannot... it cannot scale. It doesn't scale the way Constellation does. The way Constellation works, the scaling is infinite. The bigger the network gets, the faster it gets. I just want to say this too, guys, but really beware of people out on social media that don't know what the definition is of an L0 protocol. I mean, at this point, that should be like written into all of these influencers' minds if they actually even know anything about what they're talking about. But it's actually disappointing seeing the misinformation that gets spread around and obviously misleads people that have no idea or haven't been here long enough. But you got to keep in mind that a lot of these influencers are actually paid by these networks to say these things, whether they're factual or not, and they just do. Yeah, effectively, that's exactly what this means. It is literally the only protocol that allows the movement of actual verified data in real time. So that means data between sensors. There was a big conversation around like the whole Mobi piece a while back and autonomous vehicles, but like Internet of Things, everything, anything that needs real-time verification of data and real-time consensus of data, we'll need to use Hypergraph. It's the only network that can do this. Yeah, but it's a very real possibility. And imagine being an early node operator, generating those tokens, and then basically being able to lease those tokens to a business that needs to run a state channel on the network because it needs the function of the network. So not only are you getting passive revenue from earning the tokens for running and providing consensus on the network, but then you're turning around and earning passive revenue by allowing these companies to borrow your tokens for a fee. Yeah, that's the way I see it. And If you talk to anybody with money, they'll always tell you to never dip into your principal. If you can make passive revenue off of your principal, you're in a much better position than ever having to sell it. So if you can lend your DAG tokens at a determined interest rate to a party to, you know, generate business, but that you also know that their business is going to generate the revenue to actually, you know, support those payments to you. It's a lot like having commercial real estate and having a company move in and pay you a lease, you know, based on the actual functions of their business running. And leases aren't the only thing. This is just one angle of utility, you know, for a node operator maybe, or for somebody who has DAG tokens, right? But there's going to be many, many other angles. I feel like I'm just kind of cherry picking things to talk about. But another thing to consider is that, you know, Constellation will ultimately end up being a company that builds state channels for enterprise, right? That's going to be their function as a business operating on Hypergraph. Hypergraph is fully decentralized, but Constellation is still its own entity and its own business. That doesn't mean that another company can't come along and form on Hypergraph and also compete to build state channels, you know, in their own way and with, you know, for their own clients or whatever the circumstances are, right? This is a big, big network of open opportunity, you know, an opportunity for competition even. The more competition, the better. It means that people are actually being held accountable to produce working protocol, working product. Quality matters. Every time a node joins the network, tokens are consumed. They're locked up, right? That's how people generate passive revenue, by having tokens collateralized to run nodes. It's one of the few networks where the circulating supply actually shrinks instead of grows or stays static. Ours shrinks. So at the rate we're going, I would estimate that we probably got at least 1 billion tokens that are going to get collateralized to run nodes. So circulating supply, it's a metric that defines the remaining number of tokens available for trade, purchase, utility, everything else. Guess what? Those are going to get eaten up too, because people want passive revenue. It's going to continue growing and snowballing, especially when people start finding out why. Well, what you've also seen about BNB is that they have token burns, right? They're constantly reducing their supply. And one of the reasons that the value of BNB goes up is, yeah, there's some utility. Keep in mind though with BNB that the utility is localized within an ecosystem owned and run by Binance, right? But yeah, the value of the token goes up because they keep bringing new projects into their network, but also they're eliminating tokens from circulation. That's a really important thing. The thing to understand about Constellation is that the transactions are always free and they're always instantaneous. For any retail transaction to take place on the network, nobody's charged any money and it happens instantly. So you can send a transaction of tokens, any amount of money, it doesn't matter what it is, A to B with zero delay and zero fees. Actually, a name for this, it's called token velocity. And the goal of any good tokenomics system should be to reduce the token velocity across the network. And that is to increase the amount of time that it stays in holders' hands or is tied up in utility function or whatever, right? That's ultimately what drives the value of a token and makes it more scarce. Rob, I'm usually doing my rants and stuff like with the text thing, but I'm just too tired to type tonight. Somebody was asking what the main difference is between, you know, projects building on Ethereum and projects building on Hypergraph a while back in here. And yeah, let's talk about that. Big problems with Ethereum back in 2017 is that there was no way to vet the projects that were actually, you know, claiming to be building on the network. So there's a lot of vaporware and a lot of people that ended up getting scammed because these projects never had any intention of going anywhere. And it was completely possible for anybody to mint a token and with good marketing, you know, sell the token to a lot of unknowing new entrants to the market, raise a whole bunch of money and then exit or whatever happened, right? I mean, one of the big reasons that a lot of people still think the first crash, the major crash happened with Bitcoin after it topped out around 20K, was because of all of the scammy ICOs and all of the money that left the market because people just thought the whole space was a scam. What differentiates Hypergraph from ERC20's network is the fact that the validators are incentivized to actually vet the projects that they're providing throughput for, because the projects that they're providing throughput for, running nodes for state channels, are providing them with their income, right? So somebody is not going to run a node and back a state channel where they're not receiving any sort of compensation, because that project doesn't actually have any revenue generated on its product. There is a real tradition in the crypto industry, and that is obviously trading. There are more people that trade and try to generate value short-term by trading than there are people that buy and hold projects long-term investing. Most people don't invest in the crypto space because there's nothing good to invest in. That's why it's a trader market. So when these traders start to realize, oh, hey, wait a second, Hypergraph is something that we should actually invest in long-term, just wait and see what happens, guys. Yeah, you're totally right. And that's one of the biggest issues with Bitcoin, is that there is essentially no way for a Bitcoin holder to generate passive revenue by collateralizing their Bitcoin to support the function of the network or anything like that. I mean, sure, there's some of these DeFi plays, right? But, you know, those things will probably work long-term, whatever. I don't think that they're incredible returns or anything. It's certainly not as good as, you know, the potential for node operation, running a node on the network to support an enterprise. I mean, just imagine if any of these companies that we see in their partner list actually start requesting node operators to join to support their state channel, how much revenue that's going to generate, and what happens when those tokens are collateralized. Circulating supply gets squeezed, there's fewer in circulation, there's utility demand. I mean, we're gonna see this thing fly past 10 bucks. I've said this many, many times, and I'll keep saying this, but I would much rather hold multiple DAG nodes than I would Bitcoin. It's a no-brainer in my books. I'm not even trying to generate any hype. I'm just trying to explain how this stuff works. I mean, there are so many layers to this entire project, and the many multiple different industries that this network is going to be used in. And I mean, even just the multiple layers of utility that people haven't even considered. Look, we can't even fathom the number of business opportunities that are going to be generated just around, you know, the nodes, like people running companies to support nodes for other people, or people running companies to, you know, trade nodes, buy and sell nodes, like buy a fixer-upper node, make it better. There's all kinds of opportunity for revenue generation with this. And it's about creating value, right? You know, all of this stuff, I'm basically just paraphrasing from the tokenomics paper and the Hypergraph Hour videos. Like, there's so much information out there. And I recognize how much information it is for people to digest. It is significant, but just always remember that the product here isn't the DAG token. The product is Hypergraph. The thing that these enterprises want is Hypergraph. And that's, you know, for the reasons that I mentioned above in the previous voice messages, we just happen to be involved in the token ecosystem that's attached to it, right? So yeah, absolutely. And we're not dealing with the traditional sorts of issues that we see with other cryptocurrencies, where, you know, the biggest risk is that the founders just exit, or that there is no working product, or any of that kind of stuff. I mean, the product already works. The business relationships are also there. At this point, it's just a race to get integrations completed and launched. And then, you know, V2.0, obviously, of the node operation software out. These balls are already in motion. Like, the biggest risks here at this point are that there are some delays. I mean, and there could be. It's a new tech company, right? And this is groundbreaking tech. None of this has been done before. These guys are writing the book as they go. So As such, sometimes there are delays and things do get put off because, you know, one solution creates a bunch of problems that have to be dealt with too, right? So it's important for people to remain cognizant of that. It has nothing to do with the crypto side and everything to do with the fact that the protocol absolutely has to work flawlessly all the time because of the enterprise that are coming on board. Ultimately though, from what I understand, the project is tracking well and everything does seem to be on schedule. So, I mean, even that really isn't a big issue. I mean, I'm all in on this project for a reason. I actually wouldn't even bother looking at other cryptos to determine the value of this. I would be looking at the value of problems like, you know, the value of data breaches, the value of data in circulation. Those sorts of things will determine and define the market cap of this project. It's been a slice, guys. I'm heading to sleep. Have a good night, everybody.
Thanks.